Our scripture reading for today leads us to Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29, and the Pew Bible is page 889. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately it puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come."
As we begin, I invite you to kneel with me, as you're able, as we pray. Father, we're about to open your word. May it fall in our hearts like seed on good soil. And may we grow and mature into Christians that live like Jesus lived. And may our experience today be indeed supernatural and have a supernatural experience within our hearts and minds today that would be seen through our words and actions in this week ahead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we begin, I would like us to consider a question. What does a plant need in order to grow? Sunshine, water, good soil, air. Okay, good. Which would be in the air, carbon dioxide. Potassium, which would be in the soil. Just a hint. I preached this sermon last week in Pennsylvania, so my family, it's a little bit different than last week, but that's how you knew that.
Germination inside.
That's a good point. I think you're hinting at, you called it magic, but I would call it the power of God. And actually, Ellen White used the word electricity. But if there's a power there that brings out new life, that's a big part of this parable. Anything else?
God,
yes. He's definitely, we mentioned the power of His Spirit. What about when it's in the ground? It's in the soil. What does it need there to germinate? Besides water. Temperature, yes. Some seeds need, it depends on the type of seed, but most seeds need warmth. Some actually need it really hot, like the heat of a fire. And some need it to be really cold.
Yes. Some things, plants have to be buried under the darkness of the moon or the light of the moon.
Okay, darkness.
It's got to do with the moon.
Okay. All right. Yes.
I'm just starting to realize this is the seasons. I started tomato plants 3 months ahead of time, and it didn't make no difference how soon I started. It still came out the same time. So I think the seasons.
Seasons. That's a good. I didn't think of that. Yes.
Time.
It takes time. Right? For plant to grow. You can't expect it just instantly. Right. Isn't that amazing? God designed them to know which way to go. The root doesn't go up. It goes down. And it goes looking for nutrients. I mentioned the seed in the soil that it needs besides water. Anyone? Yes, those are part of in the soil. Not just yes. Elijah mentioned potassium. There's different nutrients. How about oxygen? Because when it, she mentioned air, which is the carbon dioxide when it comes out of the ground. But when it's in the ground, it needs oxygen, and that's why you have to break up the ground. And the worms are so good for that; they let the oxygen come into the soil. Great. Well, here is what we're going to consider today is how the growth of a plant is like the growth of a Christian. So what is the first step? And this has been mentioned already, but what is the first step in a plant's growth?
Plant seed.
Okay, it's in the soil. It's been planted. What's the first step in its growth?
Puts out roots,
which we call germination. Yes. This is one of the most exciting parts for me. When I was growing up, we had a garden. One of the most exciting parts of gardening was the germination, because you would bury that seed in the soil, and for all you knew, it would stay there forever. I mean, there was nothing to show for it. It was just dirt, and somewhere underneath there was the seed you had planted. And we put, you know, a stick on either end so we knew where the rows were. But then, you know, one morning you wake up and there'd be that little tiny sprout coming up out of the ground. That's like the best part, I think. But germination. Now, germination, the germination of a plant is like the germination of a Christian. It's when you first experience that new life through the power of God's Spirit within you. That is an experience that you will never equal throughout your life. I mean, you'll continually grow and it'll get richer and richer. But that newness of life, that germination experience as a Christian, is the most exciting moment. And I remember that in my own experience, and I'll never forget that. Paul mentions that in Ephesians 2, verse 1. He says, "You used to be dead in your sins. You were just like that seed lying in the ground, buried in death. But then you have been made alive through the power of God." And that newness of life. And that's what Jesus was referring to with Nicodemus. He says, you have to be born again. There's that new life from the Spirit that comes in to you. And that's that germination experience. And I'm sure we could go around, and each of us could share our own experience of what that moment was like for you when you first believed in Christ and there was a transformation on the inside that was the most exciting thing that had ever happened to you. But maybe there's some of you here, even though you're in church, that's kind of a foreign experience for you. I don't know. I'm just saying maybe. Maybe the Spirit of God is saying, you know, that's something that you still need in your own life. Carlton.
Germination of the resurrection. That's going to be amazing.
Yes. Yes. So, if that germination experience has not been your experience, if you've not yet experienced that as a Christian, there is absolutely no reason why you should walk out these doors without that. Because it's by grace alone through faith. Jesus sent His Son. He loved us so much, He gave His only Son so that we would not just lie in the ground buried and stay there that way, but that what we would have eternal life. That eternal life, Romans 6:23 says, is a gift that God gives to us. We earn wages from sin that results in death, but there's a gift that God gives us that's eternal life. And any of us at this very moment can reach out and say, Lord, I take that gift of eternal life and can experience that germination in our own hearts. So once the germination takes place, what is supposed to happen to that newly sprouted plant? It's supposed to grow. Yes. Yes. What does a farmer do if there's a little, this plant has sprouted, it's germinated, but it does not grow? Figures out why. Maybe it needs water. Maybe it needs some nutrients in the soil. Find out why it's not growing. There's a great story, and we're getting there. We've got a few more weeks, but Thanksgiving is not that far away. And there's a great story of the pilgrims. In 1623, they planted their crops, and there was the rain that germinated their seeds. The plants were growing, but then right in the middle of the growing season, they entered a drought. And week after week after week, and there was no rain. For 12 weeks, it did not rain. Now, you could see very easily why the plants aren't growing, right? I mean, there's no rain. That's easy to tell. So what did the pilgrims do? Well, they had a governor who was Bradford. And he said, we should pray and fast. And so he gathered all the pilgrims together. And mind you, there's all these Indians watching this who were not believers, who were not Christians, who had never seen a drought like this before. And they're thinking it's because of the pilgrims. And Bradford and all these pilgrims get together and they pray because there's no growth. They start praying. And that beginning of that day, there was not a cloud in the sky. But as they continue throughout the day praying and fasting, and this is all public, everybody knows what they're doing, the clouds in the evening start to build. And by night, it was raining. And it rained for 14 days. But it was not the kind of downpour that just ran off. It was that calm, soaking rain. And that was the end of 2 years of just barely getting by, barely having enough food to make it through the winter. That experience was the turning point for the pilgrims in 1623. They knew what to do when there was no growth. Yes, it needed rain, but they knew who gave the rain. And they went to God in prayer. And the growth of a plant is like the growth of a Christian. I love Peter's example. Because he really went, he typifies very distinctly the growth of a Christian. When did his experience with Christ start? Do you remember? How did he get introduced to Jesus? How did that germination?
Jesus asked to borrow his boat.
Okay, it was actually before that.
He saw him fixing. Yes, he was walking by, saw him fixing nets.
Okay, that was after. What did you say, Bill? His brother, yes. Andrew and John were the first ones to follow Jesus because John the Baptist had said, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. So John and Andrew followed him, and the next day Andrew went to his brother and said, Peter, we found the Messiah. And so Peter went to Jesus because of his brother's invitation. Later on, yes, Peter, as he grew in his relationship with Jesus, left everything. Left his nets, left his boats, everything, and followed Jesus. And then Jesus sent him out with the other 12 and later with the 70 to heal people of their sickness, to cast out demons, to teach and to preach the gospel. Peter's no longer just a fisherman. He's now a preacher and a healer doing what Jesus did. He's growing. But then we come to the upper room and there's the foot washing. And Jesus is going around the circle washing their feet. And what does Peter say? He says, not a chance, right? No way. You are not washing my feet. He knew this was not right. This should be a servant doing this, not their master. But then Jesus said, well, if I don't, then you don't have any part with me. We're separated. Our relationship will end. And he said, Lord, never. And I will not let that happen at all. I said, if wash all of me, right? Separation from Jesus at this point to Peter was worse than death. That's how much he had grown. But then comes Gethsemane, right? Jesus says, stand watch here and pray while I go over here. And what does Peter do? He falls asleep. He's been growing closer and closer to Jesus, and yet when Jesus needs him the most, he fails him. So he's not perfect yet, is he? He's growing, and he's right where Jesus has brought him to be. And you could even say he's where Jesus wants him. I mean, he's growing. But he actually fails in this point because of his giving up. I mean, he's very tired, and he gave in to that. Instead of feeling his own weakness and needing to pray that God would keep him awake. So after that, you know, they're at the court, and somebody says, hey, you're one of his disciples. And Peter says, no, you're thinking of somebody else. Maybe my twin, but not me. I don't know this man. And he denies him three times. He's been growing closer to Jesus. He's been doing amazing things. He would rather die than be separated from Jesus. And yet he fails. He falls. Good news is, he got back up. And when Jesus was resurrected, he personally appeared to Peter. And there was a conversation that's not recorded in Scripture, and we can be sure there was forgiveness that took place in that conversation. And then there's the public reinstatement of Peter, where all the disciples are there gathered around the fire, and Jesus asks him in front of everybody else, do you love me? And three times, Peter says, and there's a different word in the Greek, but he says, I love you, but it's not with confidence like, yes, I love you like you love me. It's like, I love you just as I humanly can. Three times he confesses. Not that he doesn't know Jesus, not three times denial now, but it's three times, I know you, I love you, publicly. And now turn with me to Acts chapter 4, because this shows, again, amazing growth in Peter's life. And this is just one example of the growth of a Christian. But Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12, these are some powerful verses. Peter's being accused. He's in a hot seat, as you might say, with the rulers and the elders and the scribes. And before, Peter would have just melted. He would have folded. But notice here in verse 8, Peter, filled with who? With the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is growing him. Said to them, rulers of the people. He's speaking to his elders, the elders of Israel, those that he respects, those that everybody looked up to. If we this day are judged for a good deed done to the helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel. He's no longer ashamed. He's saying, I'm going to make this very public to whoever's listening, and how about just throw in the whole nation of Israel? Whom, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, he's pointing the finger and saying, you're the ones who crucified Jesus of Nazareth, whom God, though, raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. And listen to this. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Wow. He's like, boldness there, filled with the Holy Spirit. That is an example of the growth of a Christian. I mean, he just initially just followed. And as he spent more and more time with Jesus, and as he was filled with more and more of his Spirit, he grew. He fell. He was not perfect, but he kept growing. So how do we grow? Turn with me to Isaiah 55. There's three texts here I'd like to share with you because this is so important. This is one of the main points of this parable, is that in the life of the Christian there is growth. And so we need to know how this growth takes place. Ephesians 55, verse 10. I'm sorry, thank you. Somebody's listening. Isaiah 55. There's not 55 chapters in Ephesians. Isaiah 55, verse 10. For as the rain comes down, seed needs rain to grow, and the snow from heaven, which will melt and turn into water, and do not return back there to heaven, but first water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that germination, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall what be? So shall my word be. So it relates the rain that comes down that assists in that germination. That rain is like God's word. So how do we grow as Christians? Through God's word. Not just the hearing of God's word, like today, you're hearing it, but also by studying it for yourself. All right, Joel chapter 2 is our second one. Joel chapter 2. Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Chapter 2. We'll start with verse 21. Joel chapter 2, verse 21. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up. There's that germination again. And the tree bears its fruit, from germination to bearing fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you what? The former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat. It's a great harvest. And the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil, an abundant harvest. So it mentions the former rain and the latter rain. Now in the land of Israel, there's the former rain that brings about the germination, that gets the seed growing, that starts the growth. But then for that plant to become mature and to bear fruit, there must be a latter rain that comes. And if we go down to verse 28, the parallel to this former and latter rain is talking about the pouring out of what? The Spirit. The former rain would be like Pentecost, the pouring down of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. But then there will be a latter rain at the end of time before Christ comes that brings about the same results with the maturing of God's people, the growth to bearing fruit. So we need God's word for growth, but we also need God's Spirit to be within us that causes that growth to take place. Now, Isaiah chapter 58 was number 3 of our text for how does a Christian grow. Isaiah 58. Verses 10 and 11. Isaiah 58, verses 10 and 11. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then, here's what will happen. Your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. So it's again like the rain. And strengthen your bones. You will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. So there's a prosperity growth that takes place when we extend our soul to the hungry, when we satisfy the afflicted soul. This is ministry. This is reaching out and helping those around us who need assistance, who need to know Jesus, and who have physical needs and also spiritual needs. So there's the Word of God, there's the Holy Spirit, but then there's also ministry, service. And as we do these things in service for each other, there's a growth that happens. There's prosperity. We become mature as Christians. All three of these are very vital to our growth as Christians. Now, let's go back to our parable. Last of all, as we look at how we as Christians grow. And this is one of the main points that Jesus is getting across in this parable. This man, back in Mark 4, verse 27, the man has scattered the seed. He goes to bed and he gets up in the daytime, and the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not know how. He doesn't know how this happens. And that phrase is similar to the phrase that Jesus uses in John chapter 3 when he's talking to Nicodemus about the Holy Spirit. And he's saying someone who is born of the Spirit is like the wind. You feel it. You see what it does, but you don't know. There's something you don't know. There's something you don't understand. You don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it's going. And so the work that's taking place is taking place through the Holy Spirit. It's kind of a mysterious working that's invisible. You don't really understand how it's happening, but you see the growth. And that's the way it is in our own lives. What happens is not us that's doing it. There's an invisible power that's doing it inside of us. So, just using myself as an example, I can play the piano. That's something I can do. That's obviously a talent that God's given me to be able to do, but that's something I can do. But for you to be drawn closer to God, or to be brought into His presence through me playing the piano, that's something I cannot do. That's the Holy Spirit doing that. And I can get up here and read the Bible. That's something I can do. And I can maybe even explain what it means. But for you to be brought closer to God through that, that's something God does. I can't do that. That's the power of the Spirit at work in you. And it's very important for us to know what we can't do, what can only be done through the Holy Spirit. That's through His power that it happens. Now, verse 29 brings us to the harvest. Mark 4, 29. But when the grain ripens, what's the next word? Immediately, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now, we in Ohio know about harvest, right? I mean, we may not personally be gardeners or farmers even, but it's everywhere. Corn and soybeans are everywhere, right? You go to Indiana, it's still corn and soybeans. You go to Illinois, it's still corn and soybeans. You go to Iowa, it's still corn and soybeans. You go to Minnesota, it's still corn and soybeans. We went all the way to western South Dakota and saw nothing but corn and soybeans. I mean, there's no variety. But we do know about the harvest, because you see the corn and the soybeans go from green to yellow and then to brown. And it looks like they're dying, right? And they're still not picking. They're still not harvesting. But what are the farmers doing? What's that? Waiting for the corn and the soybeans to dry, yes. But when that moisture content gets just what they want it to be, they immediately harvest it. Because if they don't, what might happen? It goes down. It falls. The seeds fall off the plant, the soybeans. The plant dies. You could lose the crop. And so it's the same way in the Christian experience. What event does the harvest refer to? That when Jesus says the farmer puts in the sickle and reaps the harvest because the grain is ripe, what event is that referring to in our experience as Christians? The second coming, yes. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. We won't read these, but in verses 6 through 12, there are what we call the three angels' messages. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church was founded on the belief that we as a church are to be giving the three angels' messages. And you used to have in every sign, every Seventh-day Adventist church had a sign, and on that sign were three angels. Right. So, but notice, after the giving of the message, the giving of the three angels, verse 14. And I, speaking of John, looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand, what? A sharp sickle. He is the harvester come, because the grain is ripe, it's ready. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe." So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. So, when God's people have matured, when we as God's church have ripened and we are ready for harvest, Jesus will come. And this is the quote from Christ Object Lessons, page 69. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, so to become mature, to become ripe, is to be like who? Like Christ, like Jesus. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced, when we live like he did, when we have the character that he had, then he will come to claim them, speaking of God's people, as his own. So, this might sound like God's waiting for us to get our act together. I mean, it could be interpreted that way. Say, we just need to figure out how to do this thing, and then Christ will come. And that's why it's taking so long. But remember this. The growth of a plant happens naturally when it has what it needs to grow. If it has what it needs, A plant will just grow naturally. And in the same way, how mature we are as Christians, or how fast we grow, that is not our responsibility. The responsibility is for us to be receiving what we need in order to grow. And the growth will happen naturally by God's power, not by our efforts. There's another parable that Jesus gives to illustrate this when he says, "You are the vine, I am the branches," right? He's connected to me will bear much fruit. So our job is not to mature. Our job is not to grow. Our job is to stay connected to Jesus. And we'll get everything we need from him in order to grow and to mature. All right, for conclusion, let me ask you this. Why did Peter follow Jesus? Why did he listen to his brother Andrew and go out and go find Jesus? Why did he leave all his nets behind? Sorry?
He believed he was the Christ.
He believed he was the Christ, okay? Okay.
This is my stone.
All right. Because of who Jesus was, right? Because he said, he is the Christ. He is someone that I want to follow. There's an initial attraction because they as Jews had been looking a long time for the Messiah to come. But the more, once he got acquainted and he spent time with him, I would suggest his motivation may be changed. And that he just came to like Jesus for who he was. Just his character, his heart. And there was a love, there was a relationship that developed. And that's why he stayed. Because Jesus was not always popular. But he stayed with him because of what he learned about Jesus. Yes. Stacy. Amen. Yes, he saw in Jesus what he wanted, that the Spirit that was in Christ, that was something supernatural, that was more than Peter had in himself. Exactly. George.
These days, it's hard to trust anyone. But Peter trusted him.
Amen.
Fully trusted him.
Yes.
Today, it's hard to trust someone. You can call him your best friend, whatever, your brother. You can even be your own family. It's hard to trust someone and actually really trust them with everything in your life. Without, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Our life as a garden, as a seed that was planted for us to grow, we have to tend that garden every day. Take it over.
Yes. Yeah, now you're getting into another parable, which is great, which Anthony went over last week. But you're right. There are things that come in and that keep us from growing. And we've got another sermon on that coming up, too. So we'll cover that well. Yes.
It's so huge.
Right.
I drove around neighborhoods and people throw the carpet away. I take that carpet out of the trash, take it home. I roll it out, cut it up in pieces, and I lay that carpet between my roads, which is like the carpet was like the Holy Spirit. I lay that between my roads, and I never had a weed problem again. Now, the carpet had it in two ways. One, it kept the weeds down and dead.
Right.
No matter how many dry days we had, the ground was always wet right there. The plant was always
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I might have soaked up that water, and the weeds were pretty much dead. I didn't have to do hardly any work. But you got to be careful of the weeds.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that part was a good idea. Yeah.
That's cool, George. Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't remember where it was, but a conversation that Jesus was having with the disciples, and he said, "Are you going to leave me too?" And Peter said, "Lord, where will we go?"
Yes.
And he knew, he'd been with Jesus enough and experienced enough that he knew that Jesus was the ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing better in the world anywhere.
Amen.
So we all have to get to that point.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Donna. That leads right into the scripture I wanted to close with, and that's Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll read verses 5 and 6. And both George and Donna, both of your comments are right where I was headed. Galatians 5, verses 5 and 6. For we, not through our own effort, not through our willpower, not through anything we can do, but through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. There's that righteousness, that character that Christ has that becomes ours through the power of the Spirit. And we have hope that by faith in Him, He will do that. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. These are things we can do, but things that we can do have no part in this at all. But what does have a part? Faith working through love. Someone you love is someone that you trust. Someone you love is someone that meets every desire that you have. And like Donna said, Christ comes to mean more to you than anyone or anything as you fall in love with Him. And then through that relationship, as you learn to trust Him and are connected to Him and getting to know Him and building that relationship with Him, you will grow. You will mature. All of us will. And then comes the harvest. But that's all what God does as we fall in love with Him, as we build that relationship with Him, as we root up those weeds, whatever it takes that's getting in the way. Carlton.
The thing is, when plant first grows, and then you get that first amount of water, of sunshine, and you know where it's coming from, you start keep on going after that source, and that source will just keep on making you grow, and you go after that source even more and more.
Mm-hmm,
and more.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep getting bigger and bigger.
Right. You get a taste for that, and you just want more and more. That's right. And there is always more.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads as we close. Father, we're so thankful for Jesus' parable, where through a simple story, He was teaching us such profound truths that we would know that it's not how long we're in the church. It's not what we know. It's not what anything that we do. It's through the power of Your Spirit that we grow and mature. And Lord, we pray that we would stay connected to You, that we would not let anything distract us or separate us from You, that we would continually be building that relationship through prayer and through study of Your Word and being watered through the filling of Your Spirit and serving each other. And one day, Lord, by Your power and by Your strength and grace, we will grow into mature Christians that reflect the character of Christ. And You've promised when that time comes, You will come. And may it be soon, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.